This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson, and it's time to play...
Game Show Comeback!
Yes, it's Game Show Comeback, where TV networks bring back classic shows just to pass the summer. Old favorites are getting reboots, like Love Connection, The Gong Show, and Joker's Wild. A new show called Beat Shazam is kind of like a modern-day Name That Tune. Is this just how networks have decided to fill the summer slump this year, or is something more going on? Let's discuss it with Eric Deggans, NPR's TV critic. Eric, welcome back to 1A.
How you doing?
Also with us by phone from Los Angeles is Amy Intricasso Davis. She is the Executive Vice President of Programming and Development for the Game Show Network. Amy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We welcome your questions and thoughts about game shows today, whether you have been a contestant or just a faithful watcher. Share what you know on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or email 1A@WAMU.org. Eric Deggans, what's up with all the game show reboots this season? It seems like they're just dipping back into the bag and saying, well, what have we not produced in the last 30 years and remaking it? What's going on?
You understand how television works very well, my friend. Well, part of it is these game shows are recognizable brands, right? I mean, Match Game, Family Feud, $100,000 Pyramid. These are shows that have decades and decades of brand recognition with viewers. And yet, young viewers don't necessarily know them because they haven't been in new episodes for quite a while. So it's a chance to take a classic format and revamp it and reintroduce it to a new audience. And hopefully what you do is you get young people interested in the actual show and maybe the host. People like Jamie Foxx hosting Beat Shazam or Alec Baldwin hosting Match Game. And the older people who remember the original show will tune in to see how it's been revamped for a new age. And it makes a lot of sense, especially in summer, because as you pointed out, things slow down a little bit on the broadcast networks especially, and it's a way for them to do something that's cheap, but might garner some eyeballs. And if they figure out that combination of host and format and brand, it could actually be a pretty potent combination.
Amy Intricasso Davis, talk about the business case for game shows. You know, I will readily admit I love game shows, always have. But I have to admit it seems a little weird to reboot, you know, Blockbusters or Password or some of these older games. What's the business case for a game show?
Well, first of all, I'm in your previous conversation, and I'm trying to figure out what game show I can make called Back Channel or But
if you need a host for Back Channel, my number at the station is 202. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wouldn't Jared Kushner host that show?
Oh, there you go.
Zing. Well played,
there
sir.
There you go.
Goodness.
First of all, I'm so happy that you love games because we love games, and so does most of the world. You know, I think game is out there everywhere. It isn't just these older classic shows that are being rebooted. If you look on late night talk shows, there's game. GSN has a very successful online gaming business. And there are others out there. It's everywhere. I do think, to Eric's point, the older classic shows have a comfort level in that you know how to play the game. And so you don't really need to teach that game to anyone. You can just sort of dip into it. I do think that, you know, a lot of credit needs to go to Steve Harvey, who we have on the air in Family Feud, but also he gave game show hosting credibility and told all of those A-list stars, you know, you can have your career in the movies and anywhere else and be a game show host too. And so I think that's why there was a proliferation of all of these new shows.
Yeah, Eric, what about that? It seems like a number of the hosts, you're not hearing a lot of the game show hosts who are kind of known for being game show hosts, like, you know, the Gene Rayburns or the Alex Trebeks, for example. Like, that's what he is. He's a game show host. Now you've got Jamie Foxx and Alec Baldwin and Anthony Anderson and Steve Harvey.
Andy Cohen.
You know, what about these big names?
Well, again, like I said, and I think that's a great point that you just made. Steve Harvey has had so much success as a game show host that he's shown other celebrities that they can still be cool, they can still have their other careers, and they can do this side thing where presumably they're making a fair amount of money. And it's also, for the show, it's a way to reach out to a wider spectrum of audience. Again, somebody like a Jamie Foxx is a lot hipper choice than a Gene Rayburn, as much as I love Gene, right? So it makes sense to get, and a huge star, you know, someone who has done very well in traditional show business and has chosen to host a game show. So it elevates the show and it reaches out to a new audience, and all of that you know, makes a lot of sense.
Amy, talk about the audience that you're attracting at GSN. I imagine that there's a bit of a meeting of audiences in a way, where you have some shows that are newer, hipper, a little bit more faster paced, mixed in with these reruns of the classic shows. What's the GSN audience like?
Well, the GSN audience is very female, women 25 to 54. In the morning, we do play classic shows like $25,000 Pyramid and Match Game, and that audience is very, very loyal. And no, for instance, we'll get emails, why aren't you airing Match Game 1979? They know all of it. And then as the day goes on, we do more recent classics, like we're airing Wheel of Fortune right now. And then as the day wears on, we start to launch our newer shows. We have a new show launching, Emojinius, which is an emoji game show, which, interestingly enough, is hosted by this young YouTube star, Hunter March, whose grandfather, Hal March, hosted the $64,000 question. And he, you know, and he's carried that with him his whole life and has really wanted to be a game show host his whole life. So, you know, I do think that because there is such a proliferation of online games, that younger folk are being drawn to game on TV.
We're having some fun talking about the resurgence of game shows on network TV with Amy Intricasso-Davis of GSN, the Game Show Network, and NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. We welcome your questions and thoughts as well. Email 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Eric, I have watched a number of these reboots. I watched Beat Shazam over the Memorial Day weekend. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Really fun. Mm-hmm. I've watched To Tell the Truth with Anthony Anderson. Hilarious. I was ready to hate this show, and I couldn't hate it. I was really ready to hate it. It was
you and me both. Man.
It was fantastic. It was funny. It was interesting. They picked really creative people. Like, one of their guests was the guy who invented the hashtag. One of them was the guy who invented the alien languages on Game of Thrones. I mean, fascinating people. But they're old shows. They're old shows. Is this just what network TV does? I mean, there's a larger conversation about network TV falling away and cable networks taking over because there's a creativity gap. Is this an example of that?
Well, you know, again, network TV and cable TV in some ways have different missions, right? And network television is still trying to get a broader audience than cable or streaming. And so that's their dilemma. They have to come up with shows that can appeal to a wider spectrum of people than a show on FX or a show on AMC. When you're looking at hard numbers, the networks still do a larger number of viewers than those smaller channels do. You know, a point was made earlier about the shows. When you revamp an old show, you don't have to explain to the audience how the show goes. I think one of the big pitfalls of new game shows that networks have tried is they are too complicated. And we've seen this happen sometimes where the play is so complicated that viewers can't follow it, they check out, and the show has a hard time finding its legs. And so when you have a tried and true concept like To Tell the Truth or a Match Game, you already know that format is something that the viewers can understand, and a fair amount of your viewers will already know how to play the game. And something like Beat Shazam, you know, based on a type of game that people play in their living rooms, you know, you know people are going to understand a concept like Name That Tune because they played it in their own personal house parties. Some of these other shows had such complicated concepts that they were failures almost before they even started. So there's a lot of good reasons to go back to a tried and true formula.
And we do have some of our listeners who do love the tried and true. Jessica in Raleigh writes, "Truly, I wish they could find a way to bring back What's My Line for today's audience. Such a great classic show." Joan in Cleveland says, "I watched them all over the years, except for the newer ones. Most are in rerun on GSN. No, I will not watch. I've had enough of them at age 68. Jeopardy is still my favorite and catch it on occasion. As it stands, the only game show I'm looking for won't appear until July 17th, Game of Thrones. I hear that, Joanne. We are both eagerly looking forward to that. Amy, I wonder about the intersection between the on-air and online audiences. You've got this game, Beat Shazam, that we talked about. CBS is going to make a game based on Candy Crush. You mentioned the emoji game. I mean, how much of this is just kind of an effort to find a younger audience and glom onto something that they'll identify with? Is it a matter of saying, well, we know you love this app, so we'll make a game out of it? Or are there other ways to attract younger viewers?
Well, I think it's really just making morphing a game that is working online onto television, which is easier said than done. There haven't been that many attempts at it, actually. We had a show called Catch 21, which we actually still air, which also is an online game and started that way. But I think, in part, of course, it is trying to get new audiences. It's not necessarily for us younger audiences, it's new audience, but finding a different way in and play along. And, what's interesting about the online gaming world is that Candy Crush is really big for a period of time, and then there's a new game. That audience actually really turns over very, very quickly. So that's the tough thing in terms of morphing or bringing them over to television, because they change so often. They fall in love with it for, Words with Friends for 4 months, and then they're on to something else.
Patrick tweeted, the stations are trying to save money. Summertime, cheap time. Amy, are game shows less expensive to make? I know that GSN is part of Sony Pictures Entertainment, which makes Breaking Bad and The Blacklist and The Goldbergs and, you're the studio behind the James Bond movies and lots of other projects. Are game shows really relatively less expensive?
Well, it depends on how you produce them. Obviously, the talent in these network game shows are very expensive, but it still is less expensive even if you're paying for an Alec Baldwin. You're still, it's still less expensive than what the scripted shows would be. So it is that. And for us, it's that we can make 40 episodes of a show that, people want to watch a lot of them. And so sometimes we'll order 40 or 65 episodes of our new shows because people want to keep watching new ones.
Eric, what about that summertime thing? Is there a reason why these game shows come out in the summer?
Well, I think for network television, it's a time, again, when there's less competition. There's always been this sense, and it's odd. In some ways, the TV industry is a pile of old patterns that are very hard to change. And this is an industry that, as much as it's about the new thing, it also has these patterns that are very kind of hard to alter. And so there's always been this sense that people watch less television in summer. And so there's a sense that you're not going to put necessarily the shows that are your top tier prospects on in summer. You'll put them on in fall, or you'll put them on maybe in midseason. So the playing field is a little lessened, at least in the broadcast networks. And so there's a sense of, can we put something on that will gain a broad audience that might, even be sort of a surprise hit, but won't cost a lot of money, and won't necessarily be a top-tier thing that we wish we would have aired in fall or mid-season. America's Got Talent, I think, is a perfect example of that on NBC. It's a show that's very successful in summer. They love it there. I think they did try to run it inside the TV season once, and it didn't do as well. And so there are some shows that just seem to suit this period where people slow down their TV viewing. They're on vacation. They're, out and about. A game show, you can watch 1 week. You can not watch it the next week. You can come back the next week.
Right.
And you're not going to be lost. It doesn't have a continuing storyline. And it is relatively inexpensive. And if it hits, it can be very successful. When you think about shows like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which was a block.
Yeah.
It was so successful, they did it, three times a week on ABC at one point. So,
Iris tweets, back in the day, I would come home from school and watch game shows all afternoon. It's a shame afternoon TV is mostly adult content nowadays. Robin in Ann Arbor, Michigan writes, as the old shows are being rebooted, why not show more of the old original versions of the rebooted shows on GSN. This is the time to strike. Where are the old Love Connection shows, for instance? Amy?
I love Love Connection. And we have aired it. We're not currently airing it, but we have aired it.
I could never get with Love Connection as a kid.
Really?
It was mushy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all love. He took me on a date, and I was like,
But I love the
reboot. Did you see the new one?
I love the reboot. I think Andy is perfect for it. I worked at Bravo, so I know him quite well. And so, you know, I had a conversation with him the other day that I think his background dealing with housewives, where he was taking real people and making them stars, that's what he's doing on Love Connection. And by the end of at least the first episode that I saw, you sort of felt like all those contestants were stars.
I know we're low on time.
Yeah, they're sort of like mini soap operas.
Exactly.
You know? They're very condensed. You know, we went on a date. We liked each other. We didn't. And, you know, here's the end.
Eric, yeah. I know we're low on time, but I wonder what you think about the future of these game shows. Like, I've noticed that there are more shows like Deal or No Deal or The Wall, where there's like one person, you come to root for them because you know why they need that money, and it's more of a human drama on top of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Is this just an evolving medium, or what do you see?
Well, I think that's completely the point. You know, there's the human drama of it. There's the playing of the game at home alongside with the person. All of that is part of the reason why these shows are so attractive. And yeah, we'll see them because they are relatively cheap. And when they work, they really work well. I mean, you're a game show fan, so you understand this. This isn't some kind of, you know, terrible entertainment. When game shows are done well, they're very compelling. And it's nice and interesting to see the networks come back and try to do good ones, both original and reboots.
And Amy, anything coming up from GSN this summer that we should pay attention to briefly?
Well, there's something towards the end of the summer that I can't talk about yet.
Oh.
And Emo Genius launches June 14th, and that is super, super fun.
Okay. Amy Intricasso Davis is the Executive Vice President of Programming and Development for GSN, the Game Show Network. Amy, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, and I hope you come back to our network as the host of Back Channel.
We will be in the Have Your People Call My People. Eric Deggans is NPR's TV critic. Eric, thanks for talking to us.
And I will be happy to review your performance as the host of Back Channel. Right?
Just ahead, the answer is this game show has been syndicated on the air with the same host since 1984. The question is, coming up, we'll tell you on the other side, but I bet you already know. Stay close.